Well, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the Promised Land. It's really just amazing to me. I never cease to be amazed at how dreams all come together at the right time. You know, they just start showing up, you know, and they fit together and so on and so forth. But so I want to talk to you about the Promised Land, and the dreams are similar to those that we've received in the past that speak of fear moving people out of the area, in this case by train, which would only be necessary if the fault lines to the east and the west opened up and main highways were lost, which is things that we've received in the past about how God is going to create the refuge. And then, of course, repositioning us in the area in preparation for many more Christians to come. These are things that we've received for some time. And Sandy Shaw had a dream that, it's about the Promised Land and about moving and trains. And she received this on August 22nd of this year. And she said, in a dream, Lakeisha was talking to me, saying, everyone in the circle is moving. And, of course, they have a smaller circle in the area they're in, but I've asked the Lord about this, and he was saying that this means the local UBM circle. And I asked the Lord if he would give me a confirmation of that with three heads, and he gave me it, and meaning yes. And Sandy said, how does everyone feel about that? And Lakeisha said, we are all ready to go. We are at peace with the idea. And recently Merlene received a word for this dream on 8:31:15. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, which was Lakeisha's word there. We are at peace. Thou wilt keep him at perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We trust the Lord. He knows the way. Saints, many times we want to keep changing the Lord's mind, but he knows the way. And he works all things together for our good, right? Merlene had a dream called Getting Ready on 6:16:15, which is about them being in a large house rather than the mobile home that they're now in, and getting it ready because all their children and grandchildren were coming. And the coming children could have a spiritual meaning as well as a physical meaning. Many children are coming. And Michael Levesque dreamed that UBM people were moving into housing close together, which is outside the city. And Bill Steenland had a dream. We were there, too. Merlene had a dream that I was moving into an office there, too. We've always known that our housing is temporary right now, and that's going to change. So we've been expecting it. Well, she said, then from the Walmart parking lot, I saw the following, a train, a document on special paper, and chaos and fear here in the local area. But we were at peace. You know, Walmarts are reported to be staging areas to separate the Christians and to move people around the country. And according to Eve's dream, a place where some may never be seen again. And the fear here represents the hornet of fear that drives the inhabitants from the Promised Land ahead of God's chosen. And pray for God's people among them, because many people are going to go through much turmoil in these days. They've got a long ways to go to seek out God. And he's going to bring pressure to bear on them because they're running out of time. And, you know, some people argue with this scenario of the Promised Land, but we don't really care. We don't make God's plans. We just merely obey them. That's all we've sought for, is to find out His will, not seek out our own thing. And so she went on to say, I could not see the message on the document. And then I saw a man's hand as he pointed to it, and he shouted, can you see it? Can't you see it? He asked three times and continued to point. It's right there. In other words, pay attention. Do this. Could it be that the earthquakes have happened? And as seen before, the faults cut off the interstate and main road leaving the area. And this message is that he's pointing to is a false warning that the peninsula is about to sink in the waters that have been filled in by the faults. You know, the waters, or the faults being filled in by the waters, excuse me. And this we've seen in dreams. It's a perfect plan as far as we can see here, you know. God is going to preserve a remnant. She said, I said in frustration, Lord, why can't I see it? And the answer came to me was because Sandy doesn't hear the message of fear. She's not going with them. In one of her recent dreams, she was hidden in Christ and in the underground when the people were leaving. And she said, then Trish popped up with outstretched arms and said, Sandy, you know God is sovereign. He will reveal it to you when He is ready. In other words, He will reveal what you need to know on a need-to-know basis, right? God does that. Sometimes we want to know everything, but it's not for our well-being necessarily to know everything. God knows what we need to know. And we should respect that. Sandy said, I see a train that is not moving. So I asked Sandy if this could be the freight train that we're used to seeing, since it cannot carry people very good. And she thought so. She said, but I hear a train that is moving. And we believe it was moving the people out of the area, the ones that were fearful. Then the feeling of dread, like, oh no, came over me. And I asked her if the moving train could be a passenger train, and she said she felt it was. It is a possibility that this train could represent a train of cars leaving town. Possibility. But you can't get many people on a normal passenger train, but of course the Nazis moved Jews in boxcars. You can get a lot of people in them. But Sandy wasn't suggesting that this was the situation. That was just a thought. Then again, if they're going to a FEMA camp, they may not take their cars. And if the interstate and main highway were taken out, possibly the train is the only way out of the area in a large degree. That way they couldn't take much with them, which is something the Lord has already told us would happen. And Sandy's dream of all the people walking or riding bikes to this central city, while she ducked into the woods with others to a hiding place underground, is probably a clue. They wouldn't need their cars if they were boarding a train, but they may not know that they're not coming back. And, you know, I just don't know what the situation will be. We've had little bits and pieces of things that give us a broad spectrum of what's really going to happen, and we believe it. And we've been preparing to preserve the saints, you know. And that day, you know, we received some amazing words by faith at random that morning in our morning prayer meeting. And the Levesque got Ezra 2 and 70. And it says, so the priests and the Levites some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nephilim dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. And then the next verse, 3 and 1, says, and when the seventh month, which is on the Hebrew biblical calendar, is September, on the seventh month, when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Something we've been told is going to happen. And the Lord has told us this is one of His Jerusalems. And we used to talk about our Jerusalem in this area. And the man-child David, by the way, and his men took Jerusalem after he was anointed. And notice the similarities of this verse to the next one. Can't be an accident. Also, same morning, Belinda got Ezra 10 and 9. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month, on the 20th day of the month. Of course, if you use this lingo for our calendar, it would be the ninth month, and the 20th day was September the 20th. We don't know that anything's going to happen on September the 20th, but it's pretty amazing that that's there. Maybe the main part is just that everybody's going to be gathering to Jerusalem, which is true. When these shakings come, people are going to gather under the bride, under the authority of the bride, Jerusalem. No, not physical Jerusalem. That's really going to still have a lot of trouble from here to the end. Just as the Bible commands, just as the Bible says. And all the people sat in the broad place before the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. Praise the Lord. We are also receiving regularly the words concerning the outpouring of God's Spirit. We just received Acts chapter 2. And, you know, it's something that's on the way. And same day, Pam asked the Father for that morning meeting for a verse to report in with. And she said, I felt led to ask him for a verse that we needed to hear. And he put my finger down on Isaiah 54 and 1. That's a great chapter, by the way. Great chapter concerning the bride. Isaiah 54 and 1. Sing, O sing, ye barren, is where she put her finger. Something to rejoice about. And the whole chapter is really very appropriate and something to rejoice about. She said, then I felt like singing. And the song that came out of the blue was Christ Arose. Praise God. And the wording is, lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, our Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Yes, and Micah's very plain about him feeding his flock. Ezekiel 34 is very plain about him feeding his flock here on earth through this tribulation period. Very plain. And we know exactly how that's going to happen. He's told us that he would come to us as the rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. The man-child is the first one to receive the former rain. That was Jesus. The man-child in our day will be the first to receive the latter rain. That's Jesus in his first fruits body. And Jesus said he would once again arrive here as a baby, a man-child born to a woman in John 16. And that revelation is spoken. When you go all the way through the book, you come to that revelation. It's Revelation chapter 12. So, we know exactly what the Lord's going to do in that regard. And we don't know exactly when, but these September days are certainly interesting. And we're wondering, you know, if the resolution in the UN on the 15th that's calling for Jerusalem to be split on that day, I think unless they've changed it. And also negotiations on the boundary lines and giving and taking and so on and so forth. You know, if that happens, we believe that judgment is going to come shortly thereafter. If it doesn't, if they kick the can down the road, well, we'll just have to wait and see then. But I think a lot of things are going to happen between now and spring of next year. Many things. But Merlene Laughlin received this dream about many people coming to UBM and the provision that's going to happen, which really identifies the man-child ministry, I feel. She said, a sunny day with blue sky and an atmosphere of rejoicing. People everywhere. Where did they all come from? How did they all get here? How did they find us? What is their story? Well, that's what her dream is about. She said, my dream opened up at seeing hundreds and hundreds of people coming to us, and I saw some more in the distance coming toward us too. And this could be the call to go into the wilderness after the earthquakes make the provision that we just read about, that people were going to be moved out, people were going to be moved in. We have nothing to do with that. That's God's work. Okay? And the call to go into the wilderness would be after the earthquakes provide the wilderness place, because Revelation 12 says that a place was provided for the woman it was prepared for the woman in the wilderness. So this preparation is going to happen before the tribulation wilderness. And it also identifies, I believe, the man-child anointing, because it happens at the time of those earthquakes. Remember, the Lord said he was going to come with earthquakes. The visitation, which is the Lord in his man-child, is going to come with earthquakes. And those in the distance, of course, are those that are coming a little bit later. She said, I saw quick glances of people like snapshots seated at makeshift tables. More in the foreground were small white round tables. It seemed four could sit at each. At a section of white table, I chose to my observation point, there was a woman who caught my attention. She had finished eating and had kept looking to the right. She had blonde hair that was long and was brought from her face to the sides in a becoming way. Her face was radiant as she watched the people about her. She looked familiar, but she was different. Taller, lighter hair. She will return, and she will show radiance too. Well, we know this woman, and we knew this woman as a righteous woman, but she was deceived into the faction by her husband. And we had dreams that this would happen to her before it happened. They came to pass. But we also have had dreams that she would return very humbled, but without her husband, who would die. So, we think she is a type of many who will repent and return as the Lord has said to us. Maybe her husband represents her being loosed from a husband to have the Lord as her husband, right? Amen. So, this particular situation, we have many dreams pointing this out, so we know it's true. And that's, I think, why the Lord used this woman's face to represent these people. Praise God. We've been praying for them. We know it's going to happen. And we have faith. If you walk in sin, you don't have faith towards God. You begin to do everything in a manipulating manner and by using the ways of the world and so on and so forth, you know. But that excludes anybody from the bride. And this was all outside and people were eating. Everyone had a plate and something to drink. Believe it or not, the food just appeared as people were waiting in line. You know what? I think this identifies Jesus as a type of the end-time man-child in whom he lives by his word and spirit, multiplied the food in the wilderness. That was a type and a shadow of things that will come. He multiplied the food. And it's going to happen again. He's going to do it again. Praise God. He loves doing miracles for his righteous people. Rectangular, bountiful tables were end upon end and row upon row just to hold the food. The people were patient and kind and loving to one another. And of course, that's the only kind of people who will escape the beast and come into the bride, right? I saw close-up shots of lasagna being put on a plate and crispy chicken and salad and greens and biscuits and on and on. The food dishes were replaced as the last piece or spoonful was taken. Interesting. It was multiplied just as it was being used up, right? Well, where did it come from? I saw no one carry food to the table. And since we were outside, there were the ovens that baked, where were the ovens that baked everything, and I knew our local body was serving, but never really saw anyone. Since she was outside, where were the ovens, she says. It was, where did this come from? It was a busy time, and we were servants to all. I would say this kind of is a marriage feast in the wilderness, right? We know that the marriage feast is the last 7 days of God's people before they go to the groom's home, which is where the marriage supper is. And we know the groom's home is in heaven, right? Last 7 days. It's going to be a feast in the wilderness. A feast of good things, the Bible talks about. A feast of the Word of God that builds up God's people into the image of Jesus Christ. Right? Brings forth the fruit, too, the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. The seed of Jesus. The sperma of Jesus in the hearts of his people will bring forth the fruit. Praise God. I didn't see any buildings, nor could I see if we were in a field or a grassy area, because I saw everything from the table height up. The edges were also blurred slightly as I took in the scene before me. And in the area, I saw no debris or damaged buildings, which of course we will need, right? We can't have all of our buildings damaged. And when people had finished eating, they talked excitedly and were patiently waiting for a meeting to start. And this had to be on a raised area so people could see who was speaking. And then again, I didn't see this, but just knew that the area on the right was where things were set up. People were looking in that direction, just like the woman that she spoke about, looking in towards the right. Right? Praise God. That's a good sign. The right is where the sheep go, right? It was then that I noticed that those who were sitting at the white tables that were close to me had a special glow on their faces. Well, again, she asked earlier, what brought these people here? You know, how did they know where to go and how did they get here? Well, I can tell you that glow will do it. She said their faces had a sheen like an oil on them. They went that went into their hair. Praise God, that's submission, right? There were dozens of these tables, and then I saw more and more with the glow. And I believe that it means those who manifested the glory of God by seeing Jesus in the mirror, which is nothing less than the gospel, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Remember this. Remember that verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's the very simplest explanation of how the gospel works that I know. And it is so true. And you have to keep remembering that. Because if you see your natural face in the mirror, you get discouraged. You go away and forget what manner of man you are. And according to James, you're a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. Right? And that we cannot afford. We don't have time to be that way. We will not be chosen. And the people that are chosen, I tell you, will escape the beast. She went on to say they had come here. They had been revived by rest and food. Now they were anticipating the spiritual food for their souls that they had hungered and thirsted for so long. Well, I tell you, I know somebody that can do that. It's Jesus, right? And Jesus is coming. And he will keep the people enthralled with the revelation and the anointing power that his words have. And it's going to be awesome. So I say, come, Lord Jesus. We need you, right? So Jesus as a type of the end time man child in whom he lives by his word and spirit, fed that food for the soul in the wilderness too, right? He is going to do this. He is going to shepherd his flock, as the word says. He is fed up with the false preachers, as Ezekiel 34 speaks about. And he's coming to do the job himself, as it also says there. And he's going to use his Davids to do that, as it also says there. And some applicable verses that go with this revelation. Matthew 11 and 28 through 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, praise God. A time of rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise God. You know, the bride has been going through much tribulation to get ready for this coming of the Lord. But what he's bringing with him is a great rest for God's people. You know, rest from their sorrows, from their troubles, from their tribulations. It's a coming. Praise God. And of course, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Praise God. We've seen food appear and we've seen food multiplied. And the Lord told me that he was bringing me through all that years ago because he wanted to show his people that he still supplies in the wilderness. That's what he told me. And Luke 9 and 12 on down says, and the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and country round about, and lodge, and get provisions. For we are here in a desert place. I'm not sure this is one of them, but one of the places where the word desert is used, it's wilderness. Same word for wilderness. I'd have to look this one up, but I haven't looked it up. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy food for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto the disciples, make them sit down in companies, about 50 each. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven, and he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they ate, and were all filled. And there was taken up that which remaineth over to them of broken pieces, 12 baskets. That's mighty something, you know. 5,000, only the men were counted here, so how many people was it actually? We don't know. We don't know. But we would suspect many wives and many children among them. And Galatians 5 and 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, the attributes of these people with that glow on them, right? In Mark 9:35, and he sat down and he called the 12 and he said unto them, if any man would be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Everybody was patient and waiting their turn and so on and so forth. Exodus 34:35, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And, you know, Moses went in to speak with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him from between the cherubim above the mercy seat. He spoke to him. That was the throne of God in those days, you know. The throne of God that was among his people, the place of authority among his people, a place of the presence of God among his people. So it's very, very symbolical here. Psalm 34:5, they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. O glory be to God. Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And Sandy Shaw had a revelation and called it, Are You Ready? Here They Come. And that was the 26th of last month. And now some of these, you know, have been received earlier, but they get typed up for some reason and they come to me all at one time to be shared in a program like this, you know. It's amazing to me how the Lord does that. You know, she said, in a dream I saw huge wooden double doors that were several inches thick. They had hinges and handles like that of an old castle. And on the inside there was a large, thick wooden arm that was down to bar the doors. And local UBM was inside, hurrying to get final preparations done. Everyone knew that they were to do what they were to do, and they did it. And there was a man at the doors. Then the wooden arm was raised up, and he shouted, Get ready, get ready, get ready. Then he opened the doors and shouted, Ready? And then there were hundreds and hundreds of people coming inside. Well, praise the Lord, they're coming. And this is God's plan. It's according to history. It's a repetition of history. And multitudes are coming to be fed and raised up and to go forth with the gospel. You know, some people think a refuge is some place where they can go and hide. Well, that's just wrong. I doubt any refuge like that will last. I really do. Jesus took the people into the wilderness for a reason, and it was to be out from under so that they all could be out from under the watchful noses of the Pharisees who ruled, you know, and could share the word without having to worry about these persecutors of God's people. And, of course, this is, again, what God's going to do. Take care of their families so they don't have to worry about their families, but they can knuckle down to studying the Word and receiving gifts and imparting gifts and going forth with the gospel. That's what's good. Well, you know, this is the nearest and dearest thing to the Lord's heart. This is what He wants. This is what He desires, you know. If you love Me, feed My sheep, He said. Of course, at that time, the disciples were kind of fed up. They were going back to fishing, you know. He corrected them. This ain't what you were created for, you know. I'll make you fishers of men, you know. So, He did that. He trained them for that. He said, get on out there and get your job done. And Michael Levesque just had this dream and sent it to us on the 7th of this month. And we just called it A Nation of Refugees Moving Towards God. You know, folks, everybody's wanting to complain about these things that are coming, but God knows what to do to motivate people to turn to Him. And there's a great multitude going to turn to Him. And Michael said, I was on top of a mountain. It was mostly grassy, but the elevation looked to be 4,000 to 5,000 feet. I could see for many miles. It appeared as though this mountain was higher as it allowed me to look over the other mountains that were lower. I also saw thousands of people walking across the lands. They were traveling from left to right. Very interesting. God's been speaking that a lot. You know, Jesus put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. So this is good. If you're going from left to right, you're giving up your stubbornness ways and turning to the Lord, right? So this means to go from rebellion to submission, you know, from goats to sheep, right? And none of them were saying anything. They seemed very sober and maybe tired. And my thought is that the U.S. will be a nation full of refugees seeking help from God. And He will answer. He will answer their cries and He will answer their prayers. But if this didn't happen, neither would this humility happen. So don't gripe about His methods. Don't gripe about the leadership He sent to bring about these methods. For instance, I'll say this again, I've said it before, the Lord ordained Barack Obama to be president of these United States in order that he would bring pressure upon God's people and bring about a miraculous revival in this country. Peace and prosperity is not going to bring revival. Trouble, tribulation is going to bring revival. And he was ordained for this purpose. Pray for him. They were carrying things that they could easily handle. You know, it sounds like loss of gasoline maybe. You know, it don't take much to lose that in this country. We had hurricanes that just took them all those refineries down. And all the refineries are on the Gulf Coast. We have revelations of a rock landing out there in the Gulf and, you know, just sending a tidal wave towards the Gulf. That would do it. That would do it. All the floating oil rigs out there, you know, it would take them out too. So, you know, it don't take much to where people are walking. There were people walking when these hurricanes have taken those things out. All the oil that goes up the East Coast, you know, and West, that's shut down. Well, this multitude of refugees walking, you know, wherever God puts it in their heart to go, I guess, and it will be a wilderness experience for God's people. Many will come to know Him, and when they do, He will give them a place of rest. You know, protection from the curse is not something that you give to people who are in rebellion, like a goat. No, they live under the curse. The curse was designed to bring them to repentance, to make them cry out to God. And, of course, a lot of Christians don't yet understand that. You know, Abraham was a sojourner. He looked for the city which hath the foundations, Hebrews 11 says, whose builder and maker is God. And he searched out his promised land. Amen. I know in this place many, many people are going to be trained up with the gospel by man-child ministers to go forth and bring the gospel in signs and wonders and power. Hallelujah. And it's all according to pattern. You know, that's how we know it's true. After seeing this, I thought that I should take my car as it might make it easier. It was possibly a green 1960s Chevy Impala. Now, there's no accidents and dreams, is it? I looked everywhere for some kind of a road to travel down the mountain, but I couldn't find one. Well, that wouldn't do you any good with the Chevy Impala, would it? No road down means stay on top of the mountain. Close to God, right? Amen. And don't take that Chevy. It's a goat. It only goes to the left. You think I'm picking on Chevys? No, I'm not. Chevy is from the French, German, and Swiss origins, and it's Chevre, meaning goat. So don't come down from the mountain. You become a goat if you do that, right? And if you use the full name Chevrolet, then the late means milk, meaning the immature, right? Milk is for the babes, right? So stay on top of the mountain. And an impala is a reddish brown African antelope with long curved horns. In the male, that is, anyway. And it's known for its ability to leap very high and far. But they're also food for the lion or the beast, right? So, you know, people on the left, they are the goats, they're food for the beast. And the further you get away from rebellion and self-will, the closer you get to Jesus. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more protected and blessed you are, abiding in the secret place of the Most High. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And I want to share a verse with you, too. I think I shared this the other day, but I want to reaffirm it with you. It's a verse I received in one of our morning meetings here recently. And it is Nehemiah 6 and 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. And that is today, September the 9th. Okay. In 52 days, the wall was finished, right? And it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, that all the nations that were round about us feared and were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Well, now think about that, saints. This day represents something, and it may even physically be something. We'll have to wait and see. But the wall was finished. The enemies were cast down. They lost faith. They lost courage to come against the people of God in Jerusalem, the bride. Now, we're not talking about all the people of God. Obviously, many of the people of God still have to go through their own tribulation, which is coming, the overall majority. And there learn to walk with the Lord, just like we're seeing. But the wall was finished, and the enemies gave up. They were discouraged. They were cast down in their own eyes. Their ability to be able to attack the people of God, the bride, was complete. Well, just think about what that means. It's something that's obviously coming quickly or arriving even on this day. We'll see. But thinking about the other days that follow this one, which I'd love to talk to you about, but I don't have time today. But we'll talk about them. But thinking about those days, there's a lot of positive and wonderful things about the days that follow this day. And, you know, the Lord has brought us through tribulations and trials, and to know how to do spiritual warfare and to know how to come against the flesh, right? And to know how not to be taken captive by Satan and his gang of thugs, both physical and spiritual. The Lord has given us a lot of growth in that area. The sanctification, which the wall represents, the separation from the world of the bride representing Jerusalem, that separation makes them strong. Righteousness delivereth from death, the Bible says, both spiritual and physical. Without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. There's something that the bride wants to see, and that is the coming of the Lord. You know, the bride is one who beholds in the mirror the glory of the Lord and is transformed into that same image from glory to glory. And that's because she's what? We all with an unveiled face, it says. Those that are not veiled are able to see the gospel and understand the gospel and how it works. And nobody could actually be the bride without understanding the gospel and how it works. They walk by faith in the Lord. As many as they walk by faith are sons of Abraham, right? We're coming to the time when God's people are going to start manifesting that 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. And many who don't have any fruit, or maybe died on a pew even, are going to get resurrected. You know, we talked about resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord is coming. He showed us this many times, that the man-child has gone through a crucifixion of that old flesh so that the Lord Himself can shine forth out of that body. And that's what we're coming to, a resurrection day. And sanctification is a resurrection day. Without sanctification or holiness, it's the same word. Actually, it means separation from the world and sin unto God, right? And without it, no man shall see the Lord. And of course, in those very texts right there, Esau was not sanctified. He had a root of bitterness, and he lost his birthright, which was given. He is the firstborn, should have gotten that birthright, but his younger brother took it from him. And that's true of the church coming in Jesus' day. That birthright would have been given to Israel. He said, I've not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to offer to them, as the elder son, that birthright. But they looked on it with little esteem, and so he turned and gave it to the younger son, the church. And they received and walked in the steps of Jesus. Of course, a remnant of Israel followed him. And through them, the Gentiles received the gospel. The younger son received that anointing that was actually for the elder son. Esau, because of a root of bitterness, just like those Pharisees and Sadducees, they were bitter against Jesus, wanted to destroy him, wanted to destroy all of his disciples. They were jealous, they were furious, they were angry, they were factious, they were anything but Christian. Let me put it that way. And that's the way it is today too. But there's a resurrection life coming because of all this. And our Lord is coming to minister to His flock. Oh, praise be to God. Aren't you excited? I know I am. I'm very excited to see the Lord happy in what He's doing. And I know He's happy in bringing revival. And I know He's happy in bringing resurrection life to His suffering man-child. And I know He's happy about the multitudes searching for Him in the days to come. Many people are only looking on the bad things of the tribulation, they call it. And they're afraid of going there, but it's really nothing to be afraid of. I mean, it's the way God has chosen throughout history to sanctify His rebellious people. And without tribulation, no man is going to come into the presence of God. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom, right? We're told. So stop being afraid of it. Stop trying to hide from it and start embracing it and knowing that the Lord is sovereign, just like the dreams we just had said. He is sovereign. He is a mighty Savior. He can hide you in the midst of all this, as we just recently studied, if you will abide in the secret place of the Most High. He will preserve you. He will protect you. He will bless you. Walk as a goat, you're just food for the lion, as we saw. So, Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided richly for your people in these days. You've shown us how you're going to do it. We give praise unto you. We give thanks unto you. Lord, the beast has nothing to be able to match you with, Lord. And anybody with you is in the majority. And Father, we just praise you. Fill us with your life, Lord. Come, Lord, as your former and latter reign. Come and fill your people up. And get us prepared for this wilderness, just as those that you delivered out of bondage in their own jubilee, the Israelites who were slaves set free to go to their promised land and to go through the Red Sea and be delivered of the army that was attacking them. And we also will receive this. It's just like that wall, you know. They were cast down. The enemy was cast down. And obviously going into the wilderness, I mean, they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and the baptism of the sea put to death their enemies that chased after them. Praise be to God. Put to death their old flesh, too, in another parable, to prepare them for this time. This is an awesome time. Entering into that wilderness, they were filled with God's Spirit. They were delivered of their enemies at the same time. It is a jubilee. I want to talk some more about that jubilee. Maybe, hopefully, Sunday. We'll see. But anyway, thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for revealing your parables unto us, Lord. We know that you send parables on purpose. To hide them from the wise and prudent, but to reveal them unto babes, that you only revealed them in the New Testament as a type and a shadow to your disciples. The Pharisees and Sadducees did not understand them. The disciples said so. Hey, Lord, they don't understand. We want them to know. We want them to understand. He said, but unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. There are people that are, you know, rebelled and gone under demonic bondage, and they don't believe in dreams anymore. That's their problem, because the dreams are given, just like God spoke in Job, to keep you back from the pit, to deliver your soul from destruction. So don't pay any attention to these people. They're just demon-possessed. So thank you, Father. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your awesome provision, Lord. Thank you for the multitudes of people that you're going to guide to your wisdom in the wilderness. Guide to your teaching in the wilderness. Guide to your place of provision. And Lord, you'll deliver them from Pharaoh's army too. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you so much, Father. Oh, glory be to God. Lord, grant us grace and draw us, work in us that desire, that will to do your will. Lord, we know this is the way of your salvation. Many struggle, Lord, because they're struggling with trying in their own ability to be pleasing unto you. At least they have a love for you. But they need wisdom. Your people are destroyed for lack of understanding. They need wisdom. They need to know and have a relationship of grace through faith in you and be delivered of their own legalism that they live under. It's a slave-driving thing. It reminds me of Moses beating God's servants with the whip. And in John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, it reminds me of that. Many people are being beaten by their religious rules, by their denominations, by their own foolishness, by their legalistic thoughts, by the condemnation in their thoughts. Lord, we just ask you to set your people free in the name of Jesus, that they can understand how to walk with you and walk pleasing unto you by faith in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing this for us in Jesus' name.